Chapter 19, Rajamundry Prison. 5 of us were taken to the Madras seaside to wash the tide, and then we were brought back to Rajamundry. The Englishman in charge of the prisoners was very kind and helpful. On every stoppage, he asked us whether we required anything. When we reached the Rajamundry station, we were given to the Godavari River. We were taken to the Godavari River, where we took our bath. It was early morning now. After the bath, we were taken to the police duck bungalow, where we said our morning prayers. After prayers, we were given permission to prepare our food, for which we were liberally given rations. All the things that were necessary were given in excess. He provided fruits, sugar, milk, vegetables, and even ice. We could prepare anything, and we were made to feel at home. We were completely satisfied, and we were given the necessary rest also. Then we were taken to the Rajamundry prison in a bullock cart. The police officer walked on foot. When the patriots of Rajamundry came to know about our arrival, they rushed to meet us. The British officer permitted each one of them to meet and talk to us as we moved on. It was difficult to keep them away. They accompanied us up to the prison gate, from where they turned back when we requested them. A strange incident took place on our way to the prison. As our bullock cart passed through a garden full of dense trees, a fiery young Madrasi was seen coming towards us. When we looked back, we saw that he had a dagger in his hand, and he was coming at full speed to strike someone. Then he was suddenly seen raising his shining dagger, ready to pounce on the Englishman and stab him near the neck. It appeared that in another minute he would kill the poor Englishman, who did not know even about the assailant's presence just behind him. He was walking behind a bullock cart without knowing that death was hovering over his head. Just as I saw the young man about to strike a fatal blow, I thought of doing something to save the innocent Englishman. As I was looking intently at the young assailant, his eyes caught mine. I folded my hands and silently begged him not to kill, signifying my appeal by shaking my head. I asked my companions also to beg him not to commit the crime by folding their hands, and to appeal to him to not to do such a thing. The young man was influenced by our silent appeal. When he was about to strike the blow, he lowered his dagger, hid it under his armpit, and disappeared in the dense forest. As he went away, he greeted all of us with a smile. The English officer did not know that he narrowly escaped death, nor did the policeman accompanying him know anything about it. We thanked God for his mercy and saving an innocent man from being murdered. Soon we reached the prison gate. When we reached the prison, we saw a humiliating sight. A number of prisoners were being taken out for work, were being stripped naked, and stood there with their undressed black bodies in a most humiliating condition. They did not even have cloth to cover their areas. The policemen were searching them in a very shameful manner. I had seen this sight in a vision about 8 years earlier. Today I saw it in the real world, and I also now realized that the vision which I saw 8 years earlier was actually a vision of the future happenings which I actually saw now. Generally, the new prisoners were also searched in the same manner. We fearlessly entered the prison. No one dared to look straight into our eyes. The policemen accompanying us were carrying our beddings and bundles of books as we walked in our Khalsa dress. The prison officials looked at us with awe and suspense. In the center of the jail was the jailer's office, and in the upper story was the office of the superintendent. We were asked to wait in the corridor. We sat on the benches laying there. The head warder looked at us with great suspicion, but did not dare to say a word. Each of us was given a dress, utensils, bedding, and the sight of which shocked us. We at once judged that we will have to fight for our rights here also. It is necessary to tell here that, according to Madras prison laws, we were entitled to the following things: a knicker, a shirt, a cap, a handkerchief, two earthen utensils, one small earthen jug, one metal cup, a bedding, and two blankets. All of these things were against the requirement of Punjabi and Sikhs in particular. We first picked up the earthen vessels and breaking them by striking them against the pukka floor. Larji shouted, Sat Sri Akal. Thus we broke all earthen pots and uttered victory cries of Sat Sri Akal. The head warder was stunned but did not utter a word. The sound of her breaking of utensils drew the attention of the jailer, who was reading her history tickets. When he came there, we asked the head warder to give us a matchstick with which we wanted to burn the rotten beddings. The jailer spoke something to the head warder in Tamil. The head warder then said to us that the jailer was very angry. One of us who knew English was asked to come out and talk to him because the jailer did not know Hindustani. So Pai Kartar Singh went to his office. First of all, the jailer raised the question of breaking the earthen utensils. He was told that they used earthen vessel for eating purposes only once, and then we broke it. We were prepared to accept the earthen vessels if after using them we could break them at every day and get new ones for our next meal. We could not use such utensils for all times and all purposes. As for the clothes, we told him that we could use the shirts and knicker, but also required turban and underwear, which the Punjab government had sanctioned for us. We expected that the Bihar and Orissa prison officials had informed them about it. We showed them a copy of the order sanctioning these things. A copy of the order had been sent to them to be attached to the Madras prison manual. But the poor jailer did not know that the six symbols, the kashara, the kada, and karpan, Gurpai Kartar Singh showed them to him and explained them that they were the six symbols. The prison officials generally maintained a threatening attitude towards the prisoner and tried to frighten them into submission, but none of us was afraid. The jailer permitted us to keep our dress, our utensils, and books, but he locked us in separate prison cells and kept a guard so that we could not talk to each other. He did not know that we were very highly qualified jailbirds. In the prison university, we had acquired, so to speak, even a PhD degree. Our history tickets showed that we had endured all possible punishments, and we had mastered all the tactics. When we reached the prison cell, we saw a strange sight. Every prisoner had to carry his own urine pot, which were small earthen vessels. With unclean hands, the prisoners took out water from a large pitcher, and then they came to an open place, one side of which was used as a lavatory. First of all, we refused to carry our own urine pots. Then we carried water in another vessel. The prisoners were expected to stand in a line and ease nature in the open. We refused to do so. When the prison guard reported the matter to the jailer, he ordered that we could use any corner as a latrine. The sweeper would then clean it. On the first day, we were given the food, which was generally given to Madrasi prisoners. They placed it before ourselves in earthen vessels, but we refused to take it. After 3 hours, they carried it away and reported to the officer that the Punjabi prisoners had refused to take the food. The next day, they brought some chapatis, clumsily prepared by the Madrasis, but we did not touch them, so they carried them away. On the third day, we were brought out for medical examination. After weighing us, the doctor wrote on our history sheet that we should prepare ropes from jute. Only Pai Kartar Singh and I knew English. When Pai Kartar Singh's turn came, he said to the medical officer, "It is better that you give us one matchstick also, that we may burn all the jute and go back to our cells. For 3 days we have not taken any food. How is it that no one has brought this report to you, but you remember putting us to hard labor?" On the fourth day, it was called to the office where my history sheet was being examined. They now found out that I prepared my own food, so I was given necessary rations. I told the officer that my companions were also hungry. Some arrangements should first be made for them. I could take my rations later on. The officer suggested that one of them could come and take rations for them. The jailer wanted Bhai Ganda Singh of Kapur, Kheri, to cook their food, but he did not know English. so I suggested Bhai Kartar Singh's name. Bhai Kartar Singh was brought to the office, but he said first and foremost, their saintly companion, Bhai Rantir Singh, should be brought out and an arrangement made for his food. The jailer informed him that I had suggested his name and convinced him that I had made the suggestion. He brought him to me. So Bhai Kartar Singh prepared some simple food for four of our companions, but I went without food. On the sixth day, the Inspector General Prison sent special orders that I should be given permission to cook my own food. Then only I started getting rations. Three British officers out of this prison were very gentle and kind to me. The jailer, the superintendent, and the medical officer were all Englishmen, and I must admit that they were perfect gentlemen, that their behavior with us after this day was very generous. They knew what had happened on the way to Madras. There was a British missionary inspector who was particularly very kind and generous. We reciprocated his gentle treatment. These officers had come to know how we had been maltreated on the journey to Madras by another haughty British inspector, and how after enduring his ill treatment, we had taught him a lesson. They had come to know about all these things. When they examined our history sheet, they found that each of us had been given more than 100 severe punishments. They also noted that it was the prison officers who always started the trouble, to which we reacted very strongly, and that we never initiated any trouble. But when anyone annoyed us, we acted very strongly. All the three prison officers discussed these matters between themselves and sent for us. They told us, in very plain words, that the prison officials would treat them in a very just and humane manner, and they asked us whether we also will behave well. They frankly gave their impression that we had been maltreated by other prison officers without any grounds. They assured us that we would have no trouble in Rajahmundry prison, and they expressed the hope that we will also not give them any trouble. We told them that if we were treated well and given no trouble, there was no reason why we should behave in any improper manner or cause to them any trouble. They could put the matter on trial. Then they asked us about our daily requirements. We told them that we would cook our own food, a proposal which was gladly accepted. This made things easier for them. Also, in that prison, Punjabi food had never been cooked. Only rice and some Madrasi food was cooked. The Madrasi prisoners did not even know how to knead the flour or prepare chapati, so it became very difficult for them to get Punjabi food cooked by their own arrangement. We refused to eat the poor Madrasi diet which was offered to us, so it was convenient for the prison officials to allow us to cook our own food. There was complete agreement on this issue. Secondly, we refused to wear the turbans prepared from the rough lined cloth prepared in the jail. Those gentlemen officers accepted even this proposal. Thirdly, we told them that we will not do any work. Rather, we will not do any forced labor. Of our own sweet will and with perfect understanding with the officials, we might do some work. They felt a little upset when we put forward this condition, but they said that if we do not do any work, we shall have to remain in our cells. We told them that we already knew that at the suggestion of the Punjab government, they had made up their mind to keep us within our cells. This was the reason why we refused to do any work. We accepted this proposal of being kept in the prison cell. It gave us a good opportunity for meditation. When these conditions were settled, we were put into prison cells alongside one another. They constructed a special kitchen and fireplace for us. They also procured all the utensils that were necessary. According to the recommendations of Major Cook recorded on my history sheet, I was allowed to prepare my food in iron utensils. They procured for me all the necessary iron utensils, like a plate and a frying pan. Both Bhai Ganda Singh and I started working in the kitchen. I used to prepare the dal and vegetables for all the five prisoners in my utensils. The chapatis for other prisoners were prepared by Bhai Ganda Singh. I prepared my own. The iron plate in which the flour was kneaded was small. The water was brought by me. The fire was lighted by Bhai Ganda Singh. After some time, we used to get good fuel, which had been already chopped up. We also had to include 3 more Punjabi prisoners who were fed up of eating Madrasi rice. When we came to know about them, we requested the officers to send them to our block to enable them to join our kitchen. 2 of these prisoners were Pai Koshal Singh of Padri and Pai Ker Singh of Chotiyam. The 3rd prisoner was Prithi Singh, a Rajput who was locked up in the drug cell where only those sentenced to death were lodged, because he had tried to escape. We tried to get him on our block but did not succeed. After a few days, Pandit Jagdaram was transferred from Madras jail and brought to our prison. Thus he joined our Punjabi mess. Each prisoner used to get 12 jataks of fine flour and a good deal of fresh vegetables. We got washed, pulses of mung and mash. By and by, we got everything we asked for. Each prisoner was given 2 ounces of ghee, butter, which was more than sufficient. Those who wanted to take tea got 1/2 seer of tinned milk. I used to get fresh milk. Each prisoner got about 1 chatak of sugar. We got sufficient spices, which included cinnamon, peppers, etc. Thus, we were able to enjoy good Punjabi food. We used to cook so much food that we even gave a little to the poor policemen on duty. The prison officers were very pleased. Once or twice, we could even prepare sweet pudding, kada prasad, and distribute it to every prisoner. Even the jailer, the deputy jailer, and the superintendent and medical officer enjoyed our kada prasad, tea and food. Thus, we began to feel quite free at home. On Gurpurb days, we were given special rations to prepare kada prasad. Soon, the prison was filled by prisoners of Congress, non-cooperation movement. About 200 or 300 Congress prisoners from various districts of Andhra came there, amongst whom were many were prominent leaders. They tried their best to get better food and better treatment, but the jail officials did not care about their complaints. They made pathetic appeals to the prison authorities, but the more they begged for special arrangements, the stiffer became the attitude of the officials. At home, they enjoyed rich diet because some of them were barristers and members of the legislative councils, but now they got a very poor diet consisting of rice and ragi. We spared a little food for them. Whenever they required some sugar or pickle, they sent a message through a sympathetic medical officer named Dr. Venkatraman, and we sent these things through him. He told the Congress leaders that he was prepared to help them as best he could, but their behavior was not good. He told them that the 5-6 were able to get everything sanctioned for themselves. It was a matter of great shame that the 500 to 600 educated congressmen could not get their rights. They were begging in a pitiable manner for petty things. If they could unite and fight for their rights, they could get anything. 2 Muslim prisoners of the non-cooperation movement went on fast, and within 3 days they were able to get whatever was given to Punjabi prisoners. So he suggested that they should gather courage and fight for their rights. The leaders of the Congress prisoners said, "What are we to do? There are a few young men who cannot go without food even for a few hours." When the superintendent slapped a man named Murthy, we all went on hunger strike. We refused to eat food, but after a few hours, nearly 1/2 of the congressmen secretly acquired food from the Punjabis, and some of them were caught eating red-handed. The jailer put all Congress leaders to shame for this shameful weakness. Through Pandit Jagatram, we even asked the Sikh prisoners to join our hunger strike, but they asked us to remain on hunger strike for at least 5 or 6 days before they could join. The Sikh prisoners also asked how many of us could go on hunger strike for 4 weeks and how many could go for more than a month. When we investigated and asked our co-prisoners, very few were willing to go on hunger strike, but from the history sheet of the Sikh prisoners, it appears that they fought through hunger strikes lasting over a month in various jails and gave up hunger strikes only when their demands were accepted. It is a good thing that we did not ask the Punjabi prisoners to join us on hunger strike. Otherwise, we Congress leaders could not have shown our faces to them. The superintendent of the prison was a generous missionary and a very religious man. The Punjabis went to him and told him that he should not have slapped the boy Murthy. If the boy had hit him back, it could have led to his serious insult in the presence of all the prisoners. The superintendent admitted his mistake and even extended his apology to Murthy in the presence of two sick prisoners. The matter ended there. Thus many wonderful things happened there. To describe them all may take thousands of pages. I am only describing a few incidents, which are very important. There were many important leaders from Madras and Andhra. Amongst them was Samba Murthy, Sita Ram Shastri, Dr. Subramaniam, Venkapataya Kandu, Rama Rao, and etc. They were surprised and stunned to read our history sheets. Many young graduates copied down my history sheets, word for word, and took the copies with them. I knew the names of some of them, but I have forgotten now. This was in the year 1922. During those days, we used to get a good many news about the Sikh Panth also. The SGPC sent two young men, Jathedar Teja Singh of Chirkana and Bhai Amar Singh, a young graduate. The prison officer brought them straight into the prison. We embraced them and then talked to them freely for many hours. The officers gave us permission to talk freely. They even took some of the delicious food which we had prepared. Thus we were able to entertain the guests well. From them we came to know some happy news about the Sikh Panth and its heroic achievements, which gave us great joy. Jathedar Teja Singh was so overwhelmed by the heroic story of Sikh freedom fighters that it became difficult for him to tell everything. Whenever we put him some question, he only said that it was difficult to tell everything. We could come out and see things for ourselves, because our release was expected soon. With considerable difficulty, we were able to get some important news from him. I knew that I would not be released soon. Neither was anybody trying to get the release. These friends left some religious books with us. They offered us some money, but we did not require anything, as the prison authorities provided us everything. We even had our kirpans with us. Thus we had a good free meeting with them. As they were about to leave, I requested them to appeal to the prison officer to give permission to Comrade Rajput Prithi Singh to stay in our block. He was isolated in a cell. Right at that moment, the three prison officers were standing nearby. When a request was made by them, they at once gave permission for bringing this Rajput brother to stay in our block. These officers, however, asked the visitors to suggest to us that we should do some light work, which we linked to do, so that they might give us permission to move freely all the day. Otherwise, they had to keep us in the cell. They wanted this light work to be done only as a pretext to give us more freedom of movement within the prison. Actually, they promised us not to give us any hard work. To keep us locked in the cells appeared to be barbaric. When the Jathedar suggested this to us, we readily agreed. We were taken out to a workshop and given light work in different places. Two of us were already working in the kitchen. Two of them started learning tailoring. Two of them were sent to the hospital to nurse the sick. Sahaj Bhai, Brother Arjun Singh, was asked to teach Hindi to somebody. Brother Kartar Singh took up bookbinding. Thus days passed in peace. A water pump was fixed up for our bath. We could take bath and wash our clothes and then lock up the pump so that the other criminal prisoners with dirty habits could not use it. The latrine arrangement was very bad. People had to sit in the open in a shameful manner. Now regular screened lavatories were constructed. This arrangement was then extended to the whole prison. When the Inspector General Prisons came, Pandit Jagat Ram and other friends strongly appealed to him that there should be uniform facilities throughout the jail. In the Madras prison, they used to mix up dal and vegetables and prepared a crude mixture of the two. They could not cook dal and vegetables separately as we did. They also used a lot of imli and gave some of it to us, but we did not accept it. In its place, the prison officers procured lemon pickle for us from outside. When the mango season came, the superintendent generally gave the prisoners a dal in which mangoes were boiled. We refused to accept this. Thrice a week, we were given special mangoes of Bombay, one each. Each mango weighed about a seer. They were very sweet and delicious mangoes. We sowed the seeds of these mangoes in front of our cells and watered them regularly. These seeds grew into a tree, and these trees can still be found there. They bear good fruit, and we also used to get lots of papayas. Thus, in the Rajamundry prison, we led a princely life. The prison officers were very happy and pleased with our behavior. They never irritated us, so there was never reason for us to cause trouble. Their treatment was on the whole very good. There was only one difficulty. It was very hot there. To sleep in the cell in the hot season was a very difficult thing. In the coldest months, like December and January, we hardly required a blanket, but the climate on the whole and the water was very good for our health. My weight increased from 120 to 160 pounds and became very healthy and stout. Cooking food gave me a great deal of exercise. I had to bring water from some distance in a bucket to the kitchen. After 12 o'clock, I was busy in the kitchen. Some other friends forcibly took the service of cleaning the utensils. The heavy utensils were cleaned by Nihang Ganda Singh, and he cleaned them so well that the utensils were shining like silver. Other utensils were cleaned jointly by all. It is only by 2 o'clock that we were quite free from all the kitchen work. We cooked meal only once a day, and we took part of the same in the evening. In the Khalsa terminology, stale bread is called sweet bread. Thus we enjoyed the food prepared at noon as sweet bread at supper time. During the spare time, I wrote books on various theological subjects. It is from here that I wrote my early life in the form of letters to Gyani Nar Singh. It was here that I wrote a book on Gurmat Vivek. We were about to prepare a fair copy of the same when we were asked to get ready for transfer to another prison. A few days before leaving this prison, I saw a vision of my past life in my Samadhi. The next day, I narrated the whole vision to Bhai Kartar Singh. A part of the vision was about the future life that was likely to happen. Bhai Kartar Singh believed the vision was true, and the incidents relating to the future were bound to happen. This vision about the past life is as followed. In my vision, I saw that I was a young prince in some hill state. It was the time of the holy festival, and I could see beautiful scenery all around. In the distant hills, there were some caves in which the hermits and yogis spent their time in meditation. I was fond of going to these caves and serving milk and fruit to the hermits and yogis with the help of a few spies of my state. I personally went to each cave and offered fruits to the hermits. One day, while I was enjoying the holy festival, along with my companions, I went to the caves. I carried with me some milk, fruits, and other edibles. On a far-off hill, I saw a hermit whose body, through long penance, had become almost a skeleton. He was sitting in meditation, while physically he was very weak. It appeared that he was half-dead, and there was very little breath left in him. I was shocked and overawed to see his condition. I felt great pity on him and was very anxious to save his life somehow. I also felt that he had starved himself because he did not get any food. The cave was situated in an out-of-the-way place where nobody happened to see him and no one could feed him. I, however, was glad that I had been able to spot him out and get an opportunity to save his life. There was some life in him. There was some hope that if I could help some milk to go into his body, he might recover. As soon as this idea struck me, I filled my syringe with milk and pumped it into his mouth, but his mouth was shut so tightly that milk could not be pumped through his mouth. I asked for the sipai accompanying me to open his mouth by force. The sipai thereby broke two of his teeth with a stone. as it was not possible to open his mouth. Through those two broken teeth, I pumped the milk into his body. The broken teeth, and even the milk, caused some pain which disturbed the concentration of his mind. As soon as he came to his consciousness, he started cursing me. He said, "I was performing this great penance to win the kingdom of your father. You have interfered with my penance, and now I will not be able to get the kingdom for which I was performing this penance, as it is very difficult to restore the broken concentration." In great anger, he not only uttered many curses, but suddenly picked up a trident from a place nearby and threw it at me. Somehow I escaped, though I was the target. Although the trident did not hit me, it struck the leg of a sapoy and cut it off above the knee. After this incident, the vision suddenly ended, and it was followed by another vision of this life. The same hermit who was performing penance in the last vision was seen in a healthy condition, but with one leg cut off. He came towards me with a number of men and stood before me. I said to him, "Well, is this all you have got for your penance? How did you lose your leg?" He said, "The man whose leg was cut off by my trident cursed my leg to be cut off. The difference is that I cut off his leg with a trident, but he hit me with a bullet in the war, and the doctor cut off my leg because it could not be cured. Thus I have paid for what I did, and now you must get ready for the revenge I must take for hurting me. Now you must get ready for the revenge I must take for you hurting me in my last birth." I then said to him, "All right, you can do whatever you like. I'm prepared to pay the debt." He then had me tied hand and foot and forcibly tried to open my mouth and put some instruments in my mouth, which went down my throat. Suddenly it came down to my normal consciousness. When I was in my normal consciousness, I instantly felt that the incident was bound to happen. Why, when I related this vision to Bhai Kartar Singh, he had once said that I must be prepared for such an eventuality which is bound to occur. I was prepared to accept the will of God and pray to the Guru for grace. Bhai Kartar Singh has intuitively came to know through a dream the exact date of her departure from Rajamundari prison. Bhai Kartar Singh's soul was as pure as a clean mirror, and he foresaw that we were leaving the prison together. The very next day, we had hardly prepared our meals when the order for a transfer came. We were asked to get ready at once. Four names were announced for transfer, which included Bhai Kartar Singh, Prithi Singh, Pandit Jagadram, and I. After taking our meals, we went to the office of the superintendent. We were asked to pack our bedding and baggage. Three of us were to go to the Nagpur jail, and the fourth was to go to Jabalpur jail. It was the last day of November in the year 1922. I did not remember the exact date. Mr. Brown, the jailer, and Mr. Davis, the superintendent, bade us farewell with great reverence and out of respect and affection, gave me a yellow turban and new white dresses for all. Mr. Davies, the superintendent, wrote some excellent recommendations and remarks on my history sheet, especially mentioning he, being a Sikh saint, should be given special permission to prepare his food, a facility which was given to him in all previous prisons. He has been very gentle and noble in his behavior here.